Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling. I am Edgar. I'm the host. We got a special episode for everyone today. Not our typical Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown review. We are going to share our favorite Mount Rushmore wrestlers, our favorite top four wrestlers, and we're going to hear why we're going to pick these things. I think we're going to be surprised as to some of the names that we might hear, because knowing you guys are probably going to pick some crazy ass shit. You guys already know who I'm going to pick. I'm going to already go with Solo. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, we're going to be going over that today, you guys. What's going on, everyone? What's up, fellas? Welcome back again. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Right on. Like always, I got the Snug crew here with me, Mr. Blood Toxic, BT Knight, and Tommy. So, who wants to go first, y'all? Oh, I see Tommy. His hand was up first. Tommy, what are your four Mount Rushmore when it comes to your favorite wrestlers and why?
Number one, I am a Cody crybaby all the way. The biggest reason why is because of the fact that he was in WWE for a bit, left, even when people doubted him, created an entire new company on his own, built that up, never gave himself the world title like Vince did with WWE, and then left that and came back. That Cody himself is very strong within that, and I love that about him. Number two, the man I'm wearing right now, the Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Some of the stuff that he used to do with fans are still going on now, despite the fact that, yes, some fans absolutely hate it. Blood, I'm mainly talking to you for one of them. Some fans absolutely hate it. But there's no doubt that even though he's not with the company anymore, I mean, yes, he is still like a WWE legend. He's in that program. But still, even though he's not actively wrestling, the stuff he used to do still holds true with the fans, such as the what chant.
What?
People hate it. But Stone Cold made that thing big, and it's still going to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Character-wise, one of the biggest things that he was known for was keeping it mysterious. Even when he's out doing meet and greets and all of that, he still kept it mysterious. And I absolutely love that about him. Not to mention the fact that he was known as the locker room leader back in the day. When he was with WWE, he was the man that every wrestler went to. He was the man that, even backstage, and this was filmed with Cena, that handshake with Cena after his debut happened. That respect that Taker does, it's very strong, and it means everything to every wrestler that gets it. My final spot. Rest in peace to this man. We love you still. I gotta go with the best storyteller of all time. The Fiend himself, Bray Wyatt. I basically already said it. He was most known for the storytelling that he did a bunch of the stuff with the Fiend and all of that, that was his idea. The entire thing, the creation of the Fiend, the design of the Fiend, the design of the character itself. He created Bray Wyatt, the character, while he was training under Dusty Rhodes. The entire character of Bray Wyatt was created through him. Like, even Vince stepped to the side when it comes to the ideas on that. That is how good Bray Wyatt is, or was, at his storytelling and his ideas with that. He was a creative mastermind. And it is too bad. And every time I look at it, it hurts that I never got to see him in the newest version of the Fiend that was revealed during his bio. I wish I could have seen that on him. Right. And even with Bray, he even put in little things to his actual personal life into his gear. And I absolutely loved that about him.
So you had genius. Taker, Wyatt, Austin. Who was the your first one?
I had Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Cody Rhodes.
Cody, that's right. Those are all pretty good ones, Tommy. I'm not going to lie. And I was lucky enough to see Bray Wyatt. I was there during that Hell in a Cell match versus Seth Rollins that the people were so pissed off about. I was there for that. So I was lucky enough to get to see him at least one time. I want to say, oh no, I saw him also No Mercy 2016 when he wrestled, who was it? I think he wrestled Randy Orton for the WWE Championship that night, and he won. And that was the night that, was it Brody Lee? But what do they call him? Luke Harper. Luke Harper showed up that night. So I was lucky enough to see Bray Wyatt two times.
The fact that Bo is also continuing his legacy with Uncle Howdy. Mm-hmm. Like, that just shows how special Bray was to not only the fans, but to his family as well, to the fact that his brother is now holding that legacy with him throughout, even though he's not really on TV right now.
I'd like to say that, to Wyatt's credit as well, and I'll say it this way now because he's passed way too soon, but I had the privilege of seeing him still in his infancy in the business when he wrestled in FCW years ago down here in Florida. FCW, for those who don't know, Florida Championship Wrestling, which later became NXT. NXT, which is on the back lot of Full Sail University, just 40 minutes down the road from here. And I had the privilege of seeing him in person and actually got to do a handshake with him as he's walking up the ramp back then. It was a very small show, but I was very fortunate. So I've actually physically gotten to experience his presence. I would like to say that my final thought on that, because it's a great Mount Rushmore. But the one that obviously hurts the most is Bray. It lives rent-free in my head. The Raw that was in tribute to him going off the air with Becky having his bracelet on her arm after she went through that no DQ match, and she holds her fist in the air and she is literally inconsolable, brought to tears, crying her eyes out for Bray. Mm-hmm. And the show goes off the air with that symbol, that image of her beside herself with his bracelet on. And that lives rent-free in my head. I think about it all the time, that image of her. I think, what a beautiful send-off that, you know, we're sad that you're gone, but look at what you gave us, kind of thing. And she held her fists in the air for, you know, strength for him. And it just shows the impact he had across the board with the business.
A huge impact.
Difficult
to tell. And to that, to what you said about his outfit that we never got to see him wear, I love the fact that WWE 2K25 does have his outfit in the game. It was a part of the DLC. that you can actually see what it would have looked on him because it's an alternate attire on his character model. I thought that was beautiful of them. But yeah, great, great top four.
All right. I want to hear BT's next, honestly. BT, let's go with you.
If I could just quickly top off the Bray Wyatt stuff. The first thing that pops into my head when I think of his passing was one, listening to the Booker T podcast and hearing his partner, don't know what his name is, but reading Triple H's tweet and then basically being in shock, because that was the first that I had heard of it. And I didn't want to believe it.
Oh, yeah. They heard it in real time, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then I heard the YouTuber Kicking It with Ross made a video on it, and he was talking about it, and it was real. And I'm like, oh my God, no. And then I remember the SmackDown and LA Knight coming out. And for those of you who may not remember, LA Knight was Bray Wyatt's last televised opponent at the Royal Rumble earlier that year.
Oh, that lights out match thing.
Yeah, even though it wasn't the most perfect match, we still got to witness a hell of a storytelling show from Bray Wyatt, like he always gives us. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that I love about Bray Wyatt. It's not only just his promos, but his work in the ring as well. He may not be that fully gifted, but he is a hell of a fucking talent. So, yeah, he's fucking incredible. Rest in peace, Wyndham Rotunda. You will be missed. And when you see me, run! I love it when LA Knight says that at the end. So, my Mount Rushmore. The only problem is I only watch WWE. That's the only thing that I watch. So these are all WWE based. So I'm going to start with my number four and then work my way up, because number one holds a lot of importance to me. So, number four. Possibly the greatest babyface of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin 316 said, "I just whooped your ass."
What?
One of the main reasons why he is in the Mount Rushmore is because of the way that he was booked. Whenever this man would bleed, he would still. Like, this motherfucker got hit in the head with a lead pipe, with a metal pipe, and yet he was still throwing punches at Triple H. Like, not a lot of baby faces in this generation do that. You know what I mean? So that is one thing I can definitely respect Vince for, even though there was a lot of dog shit things that he was booking back then. Steve Austin was that number one guy that he didn't fail on. And I'll definitely give him respect for that. Number three, The Rock. I mean, The Rock just had to be in there. You know what I mean? Like, his catchphrases, his in-ring ability, and of course his fucking promos. He is hilarious. We are the it doesn't matter. Like, he's one of the greatest to ever be on the mic. Oh, that's so cool. Best on the mic, really good in the ring. And his Hollywood Rock gimmick, easily the best gimmick he's ever done, in my opinion. Number two is The Undertaker. And the reason why I have him at my number two is because of the longevity of his career. And not only that, his rivalries and his storytelling, and of course the streak at WrestleMania. I mean, the greatest streak of professional wrestling. I mean, what is there not to acknowledge about this guy? He's absolutely incredible. Now, my number one. Excuse me if I get emotional. Because this wrestler is the reason that I got into WWE and professional wrestling as a whole. Ladies and gentlemen, my number one on my Mount Rushmore of WWE wrestlers is Edge. I want to take you back to 2021 for the road to WrestleMania 37. I've spoken to Mr. Blood about this when we were first meeting on TikTok and we first started becoming friends. The road to WrestleMania 37 was what got me into WWE and what got me hooked into the product as a whole. Even though I first found out about the business in 2020 during the pandemic, it was what Edge had gone through and him finding his way to WrestleMania. That story alone, which is the reason that got me into pro wrestling and into WWE, which is what made me a legit WWE fan. Not only is this man gifted in that ring, but his acting is out of this fucking world. Every time I see this man get pumped up, ready to hit that spear, my veins just start popping. I cannot contain my urges. I cannot. I don't know what it is. And then his promos. His fucking promos. The SmackDown before WrestleMania 37. When he says, 9 years, a triple fusion in my neck. You have no idea of the pain that I have gone through to get this back. I was just sitting there in tears, bro, because I could feel his emotion coming through the screen and into my soul, bro. I could feel it. And even at the start of the promo, he said, when he dreams things, he has to manifest them. Then at the end, he says, I'll be the next WWE champion because I dreamt it and now I will manifest it. And I'm like, fucking amazing, right? And then the Talking Smack segment with Paul Heyman pops up. Not only is Paul Heyman playing mind games with this guy, but then Edge makes the comeback and brings up the match he had with Mick Foley to prove that he belongs in the main event of WrestleMania? Bruh.
Bruh.
Hey, I was going for Edge at WrestleMania 37. Before I became the LA Knight fan that you know today, I was an Edge stan, bro. I always was going for Edge, no matter whether he was a face, whether a heel, I always wanted to go for him. Even when he was the leader of the Judgment Day, I was cheering for him, bro. Like, I did not care because it was his storytelling, his promos, and his acting that got me hooked to this man. This man is unreal. But fuck you, Daniel Bryan, from taking Roman versus Edge at WrestleMania 37. I'm still pissed off about that. But overall, that is the main reason why I have Edge as my number one. So
that's crazy. I didn't think you were going to go there with Edge. I think you're probably going to be the only one that has Edge on that list, but that's good, man. That's awesome. Also, you've only been a fan since 2020. Like, I feel like you, the way that you talk about wrestling, I could have sworn you've been, like, watching your whole life. It's one of the reasons why.
Because I studied this stuff like I was a fucking maverick because of how entertained I was by it. I had to learn everything about this business. You know what I mean? All the stories, all of the promos, all of the shit that the wrestlers have been through. I had to learn about it. And even before WrestleMania 37 started, I had to learn about his journey and how he got there, how Edge got to where he is. I didn't know that he had a neck injury. I didn't know that because I was still new to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I like having you on the show here with us, BT. So yeah, no, that's dope, man. So you have BT has Undertaker, Austin, Brock, and Edge, right? Pretty good. All right. I want to hear Toxics first, and then I'm gonna go with you, Blood, if that's okay. And then I'm gonna go last. So go ahead, Toxic.
So I don't know if we're allowed to do honorable mentions or not, but I have one. And it's got to go to the greatest luchador of all time. Not El Grande Americano. No, yes, it is not. It is Rey Mysterio. He is the person who got me into professional wrestling, believe it or not. I've only been watching since, like, 2022, 2023. But, yes, like BT says he does. I've been studying this crap. So, yeah, and I remember watching the Rey versus Dom at WrestleMania 39 match constantly in the car while going somewhere. He was so entertaining to me. And I liked his high flying moves. I liked everything about him, his gear, his tributes to Eddie Guerrero, just everything.
Booyaka.
6-1. Okay, so now I'm going to go into my number four. And y'all are going to be kind of questionable about this, but then again, it's my own opinion. So number four has to go to one of the greatest wrestlers in NXT currently, Javon Evans. He is amazing. Great chemistry with everyone he steps in the ring with. Oba Femi, Nathan Frazier, the 2024 Iron Survivor match. Dope. He would have won that, but the time ran out. I love this man so much. He better fucking win at Stand and Deliver. And that's all I gotta say. My number three spot, and I know I'm gonna get some upvotes about this. Jey Uso. He's my second favorite wrestler. He was another wrestler that got me into wrestling, and I liked how he broke away from Roman, who was not only mentally, but physically abusing Jey. So it was nice to see Jey break away from the things that was holding him back, things that was holding him back from becoming an Intercontinental Champion, from winning a Royal Rumble, things like that. My number two spot has to go to a wrestler that has shined in WWE and in TNA, AJ Styles. He's part of the reason why TNA doesn't have this excited ring anymore. I think it was with Chris Van Vliet. He said that when you take a bump on the six-sided ring, you can, like, if you land on the pole or whatever it is, that hurts. It's not like, it feels real. It's an actual, like, spot that hurts.
I've stood in that ring on my 17th birthday. I told you the story. I got sent happy birthday by the entire live TNA crowd because our school were there as guests. I walked in that ring, and you can feel exactly where he's talking about because it goes perfectly in line with the turnbuckles. And it was like this bar that kind of popped up under my feet out of nowhere. Yeah.
And when he debuted in 2016, I think it was, the Royal Rumble, that pop was amazing. An amazing pop. Everyone's like, who is this? But then you see, I am phenomenal, or something phenomenal. The pop was insane. Roman Reigns was like, who? So, yeah. Love AJ. My number one pick has to go to Randy Orton. Love this man. It's just crazy. He's done literally almost, I'm pretty sure he's a one or two-time Grand Slam champion. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know, but love this man. To the memes about the RKO, to him being out for 18 months due to Roman Reigns. It's amazing. He came back at War Games fucking ripped. Like, he looked like a god. Love this man and everything he does. Probably one of my favorite walkout themes ever. Voices is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are also good. Definitely wasn't expecting you to say Javon Evans, though. Talk about new school, but hey. No, that's a good one. He's a good dude too. I think I've told you guys about this, that I was able to talk to him for a little bit. Once randomly on a live, he just jumped on and he was really cool. So he made a fan of me for sure that day. But yeah, right on. Let's go with you, Blood. What you got?
All right. I have two honorable mentions. I don't need to explain them why. I'm just going to say who they are. My two honorable mentions is the first women's wrestler that caught my attention and actually kind of shaped my taste in women, and Lita. Lita, just, I came into wrestling around 2001-ish to 3-ish because my brother got me into it. And Lita was one of the first people I'd ever seen on a WWE or WWF screen. And the full sleeve tattoos, just that punk rock grunge. There was something about it that just light bulb. And I was like, I like this. And then, but Lita has always been probably my favorite women's Hall of Famer. My second honorable mention is Paige. Paige was the New Age anti-diva. And there was something so different about her, so different. At the time, we were at the height of the Divas era, and the Divas era was horrible. But then there was Paige, this goth diamond in the rough, who could not only talk, and she was a great talker, she could wrestle. And she was wrestling since she was about 14 or 15 years old, trained by her own family, who were all wrestlers as well. And it was her dream. And I was captivated because I was like, there's everything about this chick I'm into. And third honorable mention, because she didn't get to make the list, my favorite or my second favorite women's wrestler of all time is AJ Lee. AJ flipped the game and put, and was honestly, people give all this credit to Stephanie McMahon. No, 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 no. The women's revolution started with AJ Lee. She famously went out and cut a promo on every single diva and called every single woman out and told them that you are what's wrong with women's wrestling. And she had even tweeted about it before Stephanie took the credit. And this is after CM Punk had already left the company. And within that same year, before AJ has her last match at Mania, AJ was kind of on the back foot with WWE for trying to stand up for women. But it was because of AJ that hashtag give divas a chance trended. Because AJ was the catalyst that started that. Her and Punk are a match made in heaven. He was the catalyst for change, and so is AJ Lee. And now, thanks to AJ Lee, when she exited, we started getting more of the Charlottes, more of the Baileys, more of the Sashas, more of the Beckys. It took Becky a little longer to catch fire. But those three women massively influenced what we know today in women's professional wrestling. Now for my number four. My favorite, my actual Mount Rushmore, my favorite women's wrestler of all time is Charlotte.
Wait a minute, you guys are cheating now. This isn't Mount Rushmore. You guys are naming like fucking six, seven people now? What is this?
This was my idea. Suck it. Now, as far as it's concerned, Charlotte Flair is my favorite women's wrestler of all time. Top to bottom, you cannot change my mind. There is not a single woman on this planet today that that is anywhere near her level in the ring, presentation-wise, pedigree, athleticism, and consistency across the board. The most women's championships of any woman in history. Okay? The most reliable women's mania fucking wrestler, period, is Charlotte Flair. Name one woman in wrestling history that has put on more great 4 to 5 star tier matches on the grandest stage of them all more than Charlotte Flair. She delivers every single time. My favorite women's wrestling match of all time is her versus Rhea WrestleMania 40. It was literally one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, period, not just women. And wow. Plus, I've gotten to wrestle with Ric Flair in a 6-man tag 12 years ago in upstate Georgia.
Vlad, so, that was 40.
It was 39?
That was 39 in Hollywood.
39. Okay, thank you. It feels like last year. But as far as it's concerned, talk about a goddamn barn burner, okay? But I've had a soft spot in my heart for the Flairs. Always will. I got to take a famous Ric Flair shot to the balls when I wrestled him in a 6-man tag in upstate Georgia 12 years ago and jobbed out to him while Raw was being held in Atlanta. He was hitting his old tri-state stomping grounds, and I got to actually get in the ring with him at our promotion.
Wait, Blood, you were a former professional wrestler?
Don't you have Solo's meat to ride? Look, because he's waiting for you. My third Mount Rushmore pick is a difficult one because I wasn't sure if I should put him in this place or the other one in this place, and I can't tie because it's against the rules. So I'm gonna have to pick Jeff Hardy because it was going to be Shawn Michaels. But Jeff Hardy, because Jeff Hardy was the wrestler next to The Rock that got me into professional wrestling. The first ever wrestling action figure I ever owned was the Security Guard Rock action figure. I got it for my birthday. The same day I got it for my birthday, I went to the beach with my aunt, dropped it in the water, tried to grab it, and the rip current pulled that toy out 2 hours after I got it from Toys R Us. Broke my fucking heart. But literally, aside from The Rock and the Sting action figure on his motorcycle being the first two wrestling figures I ever owned, the third figure I ever owned was Jeff Hardy. But the first wrestler I fell in love with was Jeff Hardy. From his style, to his movement, to his face paint, to his hardcore antics, to his daredevil attitude, to caution to the wind, and his heart, his fucking heart. I'll never forget him versus Undertaker and him not backing down. That promo where he goes, hey, I'm not finished with you. I'm still standing. Gave me goosebumps. The Undertaker gets in that ring, grabs him by the hair, holds him up against the ropes, and Jeff is still half conscious with his fists up. And he stands back and he helps Jeff lean up against the ropes, pats him on the shoulder and goes, you're one tough son of a bitch. I've never forgotten that. I love Jeff for the same reasons I love Lita. It'll always be Jeff. He will be my favorite wrestler of all time. Number two, and this one was easy. It's Randy Orton. Randy Orton deserves to be on Mount Rushmore for a multitude of reasons, but I think the most glaring reason is his loyalty and longevity. There is no one tied to WWE today that has remained anywhere near as consistent, on the ball, helpful, loyal, and just a straight, consummate professional longer than Randy Orton, except for The Undertaker. John Cena bowed out on a full-time contract 5 years ago. Randy's still on a full-time contract. The Undertaker bowed out of a full-time contract a decade ago. Randy, in my opinion, is in the last 30 years is the longest running, most consistent professional wrestler in WWE that came and never fucking left. Cause it would have been Rey Mysterio, but he left.
Yeah, he left.
But Randy, since 2000, training with FCW and Ohio Valley Wrestling, fucking literally coming up in the same class of a John Cena, of a Batista, of a fucking Brock Lesnar, debuts in 2002. To now, 23 fucking years in the main roster, 25 years on a contract. He's still fucking here. Still getting better. Still crisp. Still in the conversation for the greatest finisher of all time. And man, I love when he goes overseas and they sing his theme song because, man, you really see how much people love him. So Randy has to be there. First ballot Hall of Famer. You can fight me on it, and I swear you'll lose. And number one, my second favorite wrestler of all time, but in my opinion, the most important professional wrestler of all time, in my opinion, CM Punk is my all-time GOAT. Jeff's my favorite. But CM Punk's my favorite. My ringtone's fucking Cult of Personality, for Christ's sakes. Okay? CM Punk from Ring of Honor. Like me, he was a backyard wrestler. And I've always loved him for being a guy. Because in the business, if you're a backyard wrestler, you come from a backyard wrestling background, people hate on you so hard for it. You get a lot of flack. They hate it. He's that guy that I respect because I learned how to not give a fuck what people think or care what people think about me from Punk. That's who I got that from. Throughout middle school and high school, seeing how he stood up for himself, didn't care, marched the beat of his own drum, his own way, and would never let someone peer pressure him, I got that shit from fucking Punk. I found Punk when I fell in love with rock music and punk music in 2007. Okay? And when I look at CM Punk, I look at a guy who at the age of, 46, 47 years old, is still in there following his dreams, finally capturing his biggest dream of all time at WrestleMania 41, but literally never once rested on his laurels, never once betrayed what he believed in, never once let anyone, no matter how much money was on the table, walk all over him without burning the fucking street down behind him. He's the best fucking talker of his entire generation. And in my opinion, I think he's the best talker of the generation before him. I think he's better than anybody in the act. I think he's better on the mic than The Rock. Because you got to understand, what was it he said to The Rock? And you're swinging for the fences, but you're going to step in the ring with me and realize that you can't box with God. He is, bar none, in my opinion, the most important professional wrestler, even more than Roman, of the last decade and a half because of his impact. They never stopped cheering for him. That's how much he means to people. They never stopped. A whole other company built them a whole show just so he could star on it. And now that he's gone, they're closing that Saturday Night Showdown at AEW. That tells you the impact that he has on the business. But that's my Mount Rushmore list.
That line that CM Punk said that you have to box with God or something like that, wasn't that like a Muhammad Ali line or something?
No, that was one he actually came up with. He was telling The Rock, he's like, and you're swinging for the fences, but he goes on to say something else in between that, but then it ends with, but then you're going to step in the ring with me and you're going to realize that your arms are just too short to box with God.
Hell yeah.
I don't think he made that up, though, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I think
he pulled a slight reference, but it was definitely off the cuff because he was going through that speech, definitely using metaphors. So yeah, it was
another thing that definitely, for me, I understand why you put him on your Mount Rushmore. The pipe bomb. One of the best promos that he ever put out, because Vince told him right before he left, just go out there, let it all out. The pipe bomb is one of the most important promos of all time.
It's the most important promo of the last 25 years. That's for certain.
All right, well, unlike Toxic or Mr. Blood, I was told four and I'm sticking to it. And I made this work somehow. Starting at number four, my Mount Rushmore, I'm going to start off with RVD. Rob Van Dam for me was a big one growing up. There was just no one like him when he first showed up to the WWE. It was, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I was really young when WWE first showed up. And there was no one doing the Rolling Thunder. The Frog Splash was fairly new. There was other people doing it, but just the way that RVD moved in the ring, his style of wrestling was very unique at the time in the WWE, and he just stood out. I really liked everything about RVD, even from the song to the gear to the kicks. You know, RVD was one of my favorites as a kid. Now, you guys are going to notice that when I go over my list, I'm talking about, like, these are selfish reasons. Unlike you guys, some of you guys picked them because what they've done for the business or what they mean to the people or the industry or the titles that they've won, the things that they have done. This is, for me, like, these are just people that have made an impact in my life, giving me, like, memories and, like, nostalgia and, like, you know, what I liked watching growing up or whatever. So Rob Van Dam, I remember being one that I really gravitated to a whole lot as a kid, especially Mr. Blood. You talk about, like, you know, you used to backyard wrestle, right? Well, I used to do that, you know, with my cousins and the trampoline as a kid growing up. And I wanted to do everything RVD was doing, you know? So that was a big one for me. Number three, and this is for all the wrong reasons. Well, wrong and right reasons. But Chris Jericho was another wrestler that made a huge impact on me when I was growing up watching wrestling. Who can forget his debut on the WWE when he first came in with The Rock? That iconic promo, that segment still gets talked about today. But then, you know, Chris Jericho coming in as an outsider from WCW, he defeated two of my favorite ones, which is The Rock and Austin, on the same night at WrestleMania. And I will never forget, I've never been heartbroken that much ever in professional wrestling like that night. I had two opportunities to be a happy wrestling fan that night. Oh, if Rock wins, I'm happy. If Austin wins, I'm happy. No one expected Chris Jericho to win that night. Nobody. And he did. And he became the first ever undisputed champion of all fucking time. Chris Jericho, then later on, you hear all these stories about how Vince didn't believe in him. Vince, you know, didn't think he was that good because he was short. He wasn't going to make it. And then Vince finally decides to put the title on Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho has gone on record to say that Vince McMahon went up to him and said, you want to know how you know your company's not doing good or wrestling is not doing good? You put the belt on Jericho. I'm never going to forget that. So Chris Jericho, for all those reasons, he's my number three. My top two are pretty easy. My number two is The Undertaker. One of the most memorable moments that I can remember from The Undertaker was when he returned at Judgment Day, the pay-per-view Judgment Day, as the American Badass for the very, very first time. It was either the year 2000 or 2001. I was either 9 or 10 years old when this happened. I always remembered the dark, spooky, you know, goth Undertaker, right? The dead man. So I'm watching the main event, which is The Rock and Triple H, the last man standing match. The Rock is one of my favorites at the time. I'm expecting The Rock to win it, but he's getting his ass beat by Triple H and the entire DX. And who comes out? Some guy in a motorcycle that I've never seen before. This guy was unrecognizable. He was wearing sunglasses. He was wearing a bandana. I didn't know who the fuck this guy was. And it wasn't until Jim Ross, I can still remember how he said, "That's the Undertaker. That's the Undertaker." And you want to talk about chills that day? I still remember those chills over 20 years ago. And then I see the Undertaker get in the ring and grab Stephanie McMahon by the neck, rolling his eyes back. And I was like, holy shit, that's the Undertaker. Fucking amazing. And my number one is pretty easy. It's The Rock. The Rock is my number one. I mean, he's just growing up. He was the guy. Everyone wanted to be like him. Everyone was doing the eyebrow at school. All the girls liked him. Everyone wanted to be him. He, you know, he was the top guy, you know. Also, you know, the representation or presentation means a lot. Like, this guy was, I knew he wasn't Hispanic, but he kind of looked like me also. So I think as a kid, you kind of look at that and you're like, oh shit, you know, that's pretty cool. So for all those reasons, The Rock is my number one. So that's why I still get mad when people talk shit about him today. I know he's a little annoying now, but he's still the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. So with that, you guys, that was my top four. I'm not going to cheat like y'all. But yeah, that was fun, you guys. That was amazing.
You know, I don't think I can cheat when the list today was my idea. So I feel like if I make the rules.
I guess I just didn't get the memo.
You weren't supposed to. I didn't think about it until halfway through what Tox was saying.
All right, fine. Fine. Fair enough.
I will say I did have a close option. I was this close. From instead of putting Austin on there, I was close to putting Mr. Does Anybody Want a Peanut on there.
Who the fuck is that?
That would be a line from the amazing movie that is The Princess Bride that was said by the late, great Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah, no, that was way before my time.
You know, it's funny because I did go back and forth on the list because, you know, the problem with Mount Rushmore is there's only four slots. And if you've been a wrestling fan long enough, it's very difficult to just pick four. I mean, because I could have easily done, okay, well, four male wrestlers. And I did tell everybody, by the way, for those of you watching, I said the list is for any wrestler in history at any point in time in any promotion. And when I realized none of you guys did women, I realized, well, I was right because Charlotte was already on my list because I was like, man, if we had like a separate list that was just men and then another list that was just women, we'd be here all day if I was like, okay, well, now what about high flyers? Well, what about technicians? Well, what about brawlers? You know, what about golden age wrestling? You know, like we could be here all day. So when you're trying to narrow it down to just four people out of fucking thousands.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to pick.
But it really does make you think, God, just what do these people really mean to me and who means the most? And you got to pick four, but you know there's stragglers.
Okay. When, especially in the past, wrestling in general, especially way back when, was such a male-dominated sport.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, very. I mean, when I backyard wrestled, my finisher was an RKO, and one of my signatures was a fucking rock bottom. And one of these days, I'll take clips from our old YouTube channel, and I'll actually send you guys clips so you can see what a young 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-old me looked like. But I mean, I know BT's seen most of my documentary, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's hard to pick four, right? But like, because The Rock at one point was my most favorite. He was the first wrestling toy I ever owned. I still have that Sting action figure sat right there in a chair holding a WWC World Heavyweight Championship right there. Damn. That action figure is 24 years old.
Shit.
So it's one of those things where, you know, even though some of them are selfish reasons, it's completely fine that like you pick selfish reasons that just bring memories to you. The reason I'm so attached to Randy is because I used his finisher as an RKO. The reason I'm so attached to Jeff is because I used the Twist of Fate. Because when I was playing WWE games with my brother and my best friend, my entire moveset was mostly patterned off of Jeff. And when I did gymnastics, I used to do swanton bombs at the tumble track foam pit every single week at the gym. You know, like these, they're allowed to mean something to you. They should mean something to you. It shouldn't just be about their overall contribution. But like, why do you love professional wrestling? Because of the characters that keep you in it, keep you attached to it. You know?
Another reason why I chose Taker to put on mine is because of the fact that he still cares about WWE, about the Young Bucks. He came out and helped Cody during WrestleMania 40. Mm. Raw on Netflix. What happened right after? Rhea beat Liv. That dong. And then Taker comes out.
Yeah, you missed the Taker's dong.
It's
all right. That was one guy. That was one guy out of all the main event, out of all the events, the wrestling events that I've been to, I never got to see The Undertaker. Not once.
I have only because WrestleMania, it's so hard to keep track of the numbers. WrestleMania in 2008, when Shawn retired Ric Flair, I was in the building for that because my school was catering that WrestleMania. So I was there for the Undertaker Edge match. I was there for the Rick and Shawn match. I was one of the people crying in the arena when Rick went down. Kind of full circle for me too, to watch him have his last match at that point before I literally watched him a million times wrestle in TNA live in person after that. But to literally go from seeing that kick and the I'm sorry, I love you to fast forward, you know, 5 years later, and I'm getting hit in the balls by him at Fannin Lanes in upstate Georgia, 15 minutes from the Tennessee line. It's pretty fucking surreal. Yeah. So, like, but Taker, I've never met Taker. And it kind of pisses me off. I'm like, I've been within 500 feet of him, and I haven't met him. You know?
Well, with that, fellas, I got to get up out of here. That was our Mount Rushmore for the Snug Wrestling crew. Let us know what your Mount Rushmore is and why my Mount Rushmore was better than everyone's. I appreciate y'all. Have a good night. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling, and we will see you guys very, very soon. Later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see you soon. No, you.